Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Prakash Palani, and you are listening to SAP on Public Cloud Podcast. Today, we are going to take a look at how you can design and set up SAP on AWS, especially setting up the highly available environments. In the last session, we spoke about SAP on GCP, and we also focused on setting up highly available systems on GCP. But today's topic, similar concepts, but how do you achieve that in SAP on AWS? Please do visit our YouTube channel for the references that I'm going to make during this session, especially the screen shares that I'm referring in this audio. If you need more information, please do visit our YouTube channel and subscribe to that. Let's jump into the topic. So here is the architecture diagram where you would see AWS cloud, and you have a region, you have a VPC. Within the region, you have two different zones, availability zone 1, availability zone 2, in which there are two different machines hosted, EC2 machines. One is hosting ACS, the other one is hosting ERS. So when the one node goes down, when the ACS node goes down, the resources will move from here to here, and then this VM will host ACS and ERS. So as you can see in this diagram, you will not see a load balancer in here. If you have seen our GCP session, then the GCP session, what we also saw, the load balancer is responsible for diverting the traffic towards whichever the node or VM that is actively using ACS. The load balancer is responsible not only on GCP. In the next session, we'll also talk about Azure. In GCP or Azure, the load balancers are responsible to divert the traffic to the active node. But in case of AWS, the concept is slightly different. Here we have something called overlay IP. That overlay IP address will not come from any of the subnets that you already have. It has to be a unique IP address, which will be added to your route table. When you say route table is nothing but, it knows where I should pass on. If somebody is reaching out to a particular IP address, which direction should I send them? So that is what we call as the route table. So in the route table, you will update the overlay IP and the node to which the traffic needs to be diverted. Based on that, the cluster resources will handle it accordingly. The cluster resource will know, if this node goes down, the cluster resource will move to the availability zone 2. When it is moving, it will also go and update the route table saying, I have moved my resources from one to the other. Please update your route table. So these are some of the uniqueness of setting up highly available cluster in AWS. So let's get into the details. Some of the requirements, so to say, right? When you set it up, you need to have the basic info like which region, which zone, what is the VPC, what is the subnet, which AMI. Basically, you have two choices, SUSE or Red Hat. So which one you need to have within SUSE or Red Hat? You need to use SUSE for SAP or Red Hat for SAP. What is the key pair? What security group ID you want to have? One of the other important thing is Amazon EFS. So when you looked at our previous session, we talked about Google File Store. You can compare Amazon EFS with the Google File Store. It's nothing but the enterprise grade file share solution where you will have the file shares that are coming from that are part of cluster resources, which also needs to be highly available. We host them in Amazon EFS. This is the de facto in most of the cases, but if you want to have different technologies for whatever reasons, like FSx on tap or NetApp on tap on AWS or DRBD based configuration, you are free to choose. But in general, the customers use Amazon EFS capabilities to keep it simple. The next one, let's also take a look at some of the cluster configuration prerequisites. So this is one of the important topic when you set up highly available environments for SAP on AWS. You need to have some configurations made before you can even start configuring it in the cluster resources. You need to make some adjustments at the AWS console level or AWS cloud resources level. Some of them could be on the operating system level. The first one that you're seeing now is at the operating system level for Red Hat and SLES. You just have to make to ensure that AWS configure does not return any of the configurations that you have previously configured, especially for the root user. So if you do not, if you have something already configured, please make them as none. Otherwise, you know, these resources, I mean, whatever configurations that needs to be adjusted as part of the cluster movement, then it will make use of these credentials and your cluster resources may fail. So ensure that it becomes none. And for Slash alone, there is also, you know, you can also configure with a cluster as a profile. Hostname resolution, it's absolutely important. You need to ensure that, you know, both the nodes, they are able to talk to each other with the hostname. If the DNS issues are there, then, you know, make use of host file to enable it. Disable the source or destination check. Generally, the EC2 instances are enabled with source or destination checks enabled. So you need to disable it when they are part of cluster. Both the EC2 instances, you need to go to console or AWS CLI, you know, or any other automation platform. Just, you know, enable or disable the source or destination check. AWS roles and policies, very important one, because you will not see this in Azure or GCP. This is very unique to AWS. So whatever EC2 instance that you have, typically we attach EC2 role on top of the EC2 instance, for example, right? So the EC2 instance, if they are part of cluster, the VMs itself need to perform some operations at the AWS cloud infrastructure level, for example, updating the route table. So when the resources move from one to the other, the VMs or the EC2 instances will by itself will go and update the route table. If that has to happen, then these roles and policies are very important. So in here, for example, you will see that the Stonethlike we saw in the previous session on GCP, Stonethis one of the important aspects. Even in AWS, you don't need to go with the traditional iSCSI-based Stonethagents or Stonethresource agents. You can simply leverage AWS cloud-native Stonethresources. So you just have to configure it. But before configuring it, you need to ensure that this policy is created and attached to the EC2 instance. Only then Stonethwould work, which means, you know, you need to have stop instances and start instances, describe tags. These are the four permissions or privileges that you need to add to this policy, and this policy needs to be attached to the IAM role, and that IAM role needs to be attached to the EC2 instance. You can also configure it saying this is for a specific instance ID. You can configure multiple policies for individual clusters. That is from a security perspective, that is what is recommended. The next one, next policy within you know, AWS is that you will see that EC2 replay zone. So this is what I was talking about sometime back. So the EC2 instance should have the permission to go and replace the route table, because when the resources move from one machine to the other machine, the overlay IP address route needs to be updated. And if that needs to be updated, this policy is very important. Updating the route tables as a step one, you would also create a route table. This is what happens in the background when you have this policy attached, but manually also you should attach it when you do the first time setup. You basically add the overlay IP address of ACS and ERS in the route tables with the overlay IP address that you have defined. So you need to work on creating the overlay IP address list. If you have multiple clusters, you need to maintain a separate sheet because it will not be visible anywhere else. So you need to maintain it. And this IP address, you will you know, have the target as one of the network interface or the EC2 instance. Then whatever traffic comes into 192.168.11.1 in this within AWS, right, they will be moving towards this network interface. Amazon EFS setup, we again touched upon it sometime back. Basically, it is SAP MNT, home, sys directory, they are all part of, and then ACS. So these are all part of you know, EFS, and whatever you see here, SAP MNT and home sys are generally added to the FS tab you know, itself, so that whenever it gets, whenever both the nodes are coming up, it will be visible to the both the nodes. But the ACS 00 alone will be part of the cluster, so this will be moving from one node to the other based on whichever VM that is up and running. You can also have a private endpoint and so on configured so that, you know, the traffic stays within your VPC for the EFS. If you want to compare EFS with Azure, it is Azure File Share. If you want to compare it with Google, it is Google File Store. So basically just the names are different, but the technologies at the end remain same. So this is almost similar to any other hyperscalers. So let's take a look at how the cluster at the end would look like. We talked about Stoneith. This is the one that is responsible if the VM is not reachable for whatever reason, if it has to fence the entire machine, then this resource should be up and running. If this resource needs to be up and running, this should have the policies and privileges to be able to stop or start the instances. And then you'll see the IP address. This is nothing but the overlay IP address. And you'll see that AWS VPC move IP as the resource agent, which is nothing but, when the resources are moving, for example, ACS fails here, then everything will move. And this resource agent will be responsible to update the route table that you have in your VPC. This will go and update the route table saying, I have moved from host 0 to host 01. So, divert all the traffic, whatever coming into my overlay IP address, move into this IP. File system, EFS file system. It's basically the ASAS 00 or ERS 10 or whatever, right? Whatever file system that you have that comes in here. Finally, the SAP resources. This is how at the end of your cluster configuration, this is how it would look like. Let me take you to the cluster resources. These are like basic configurations. Stoneith. So this is the configuration that enables. And if this configuration is to work, you need to have the policies attached. Overlay IP address, here you specify, this is my overlay IP address. This is the route table in which I need to go and update, when the resources move from one to the other. This is the route table. If you have multiple route tables for whatever reasons, then you can also enable it with comma, then, the resources will be added. File system resource, EFS, like I said, ASAS 00, this is nothing but an NFS 4, and you configure it like that. At the end, the ASAS resources. So by executing all these commands, if you have installed SAP ASAS and ERS, if you have given the policies, if you have created the EFS file share, then at the end of executing these commands, your cluster will be up and running for SAP ASAS and ERS on AWS. So now let's take a look at how does HANA looks. In case of HANA, let's see how it looks. So this is a HANA guide. Let's take a look at the architecture. Architecture is nothing different than what you saw for ASAS, VPC, AWS, region, VPC, zone 1, zone 2. You have primary DB, secondary DB. The one difference that you would see here in the previous, the ASAS cluster, you had two overlay IP, one for ASAS, one for ERS. In this case, if your secondary IP, secondary instance, you want to enable it with the read access, then you would need the secondary IP as well. Otherwise, if you don't have read access for your secondary node, then you can live with one overlay IP, which will be moving, depending upon where my master is running, this resource will be moving. So again, the route table HSR is configured, then, everything is added to the cluster. So if you take a look at the prerequisites, there is nothing different. It's the same, enable or disable the source destination check, Stoneith policy that you saw in the previous ASAS configuration, overlay IP agent policy, and then update the route table, then you are ready to go. In case of SLES, you also need to have this particular tag that needs to be updated, pacemaker equal to, the host name of whatever VM that is attached, that one. So if you take a look at the cluster resources, so let's take a look at the cluster status first, then we'll go to the resources. Stoneith, similar to ASAS, APC, AWS VPC, move IP, again resources related to the route table, clone set, whichever is part of my HANA topology, and then who is my master, who is in slave. So these are the configurations you would do. So let's take a look at one by one. Stoneith, again, if the policy is not attached, this would not work. Overlay IP resource, you need to have it with the routing table and then the URL IP address. Then it will divert the traffic to the primary instance wherever it is running. If you have multiple like read access, then you need to have one more URL API configured. HANA topology, it's just a command. Once you have installed HANA and HSR is configured, just simply execute this command. This should work. And then the HANA, whichever is master and slave, this should also work. At the end, the constraints, you know, which of them should be running together. You know, if you have all API address, this should be always with the master. So that is what you specify here. At the end of this, then you will have your HANA cluster up and running. So this is something, you know, the entire cluster setup, you can do it in a manual fashion, whatever way, or you can also do it with automated deployment with the launch wizard within AWS. You can also use Symfony for SAP from Basis Cloud Solution, which is a cloud management flat platform for SAP, not just for implementation. You can also use it for your day-to-day operations. You can use Symfony to automate and orchestrate the complete cluster setup every step by step, depending upon how your cluster should look like. If somebody is interested in understanding about it more, please let us know, because this is not only a platform to set up your cluster, but Symfony can also orchestrate your maintenance operations. Like, you know, if you have a maintenance operations that starts, for example, it goes into your application servers, one by one shutdown, soft shutdown, and then go into the primary secondary node, patch it, and then go to the primary node, move it to the secondary node. So all these operations, you may have like 100 steps in your runbook when you do the maintenance for SAP on AWS or SAP on GCP or SAP on Azure cluster maintenance. Be it any cloud platform, Symfony can help you to orchestrate the complete maintenance process with a click of a button. If anybody is interested, please do reach out. That's about it for today's session. In the next session, we'll talk about SAP on Azure. We'll also have a similar introduction on how it differs between AWS and GCP. We'll take a deep dive into setting up Azure. Thank you for listening or watching. Looking forward to presenting the next episode to you very soon. Thank you.